Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fundamentally Mormon. This is the Mormon Fundamentalist, Mark Lichtenwalter, coming to you live from Emory, Utah. Just barely pulled into the rest area. I just turn on my lights in the cab and turn this truck off and turn the fan off. Oh, man, I was racing to get here. Well, as much as I can. My load right now is 128.9, so that's 128,900 pounds. And I was going up the hill as fast as I could at 15 miles an hour. Anyway, tonight we are going to be continuing on reading pamphlets by Ogden Kraut. You can go to ogdenkraut.com and click on book availability. Oh, there's my wife. She says, what's the call-in number? Let me just text her real quick, and I'll let you know as well. Anybody who wants to call in can call in at 917-889-8827. I think that's it. Let me just check in on the studio here. It's pretty cool. I can actually access everything on Blog Talk Radio through my iPhone here. And I guess I need to log in. I set this up earlier in the day. I set them up in the day, and I always set them up for 11:30. Let's see. Yep. 917-889-8827 is the call-in number. And anyway, so we're going to continue reading the pamphlets of Ogden Kraut, which you can find at ogdenkraut.com, and read Ogden's books and then scroll down to pamphlets, which is pretty easy to find, and then just scroll down to famines, and that's where we're going to be at tonight. I'm waiting to see if my wife is going to call in. When I used to do the Kingdom of God or Nothing radio show on Blog Talk Radio, there was a way that I could actually call people, but I don't see that option here. Yeah, I don't see it. Since I don't do the premium option, I don't get all the awesome options. But anyway, also another place that you can find the text. So tonight we'll be reading. I'll post the podcast along with the text that we read on my website, or not my website, but my Facebook page, which is Zion's Redemption Books, and also the Church of the Living Messiah, and in my Facebook groups, LDS Last Day Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, and LDS Gospel Mystery, and then I've got a couple of others as well that I host and I run and try to share what I'm learning there. I wish that there was more people who were willing to do, like, you know, podcasts that I would be able to listen to, especially things that deal with church history, not talking about Bryce Blankenhagel stuff. He's so twisted, it's ridiculous. But talking about, like, people who are faithful believers in Joseph Smith and who read the presidents of the church, you know, and those type of things. I'd really like to, you know, but I drive a semi-truck and I listen to those kind of things. Let me see if I can add my wife into a call. Add call. Are you there?
Hello?
Uh-huh. Hi. Okay, so I merged you on. I sent you the text message with the guest call-in number.
I didn't see one yet.
Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering, because I don't know. You know how the cell phone service is down here in Emory. Utah.
Yeah,
so if you want to comment on anything, just unmute yourself. And then do you have your headset on? Did I lose you? Kim? I think I may have lost my wife.
Can you
okay,
hear me?
Well.
Sorry.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
I was asking, do you have your headset available or on?
Yeah, I will. I'm going to grab it. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get on because I couldn't find the call-in number. So now I will.
Oh,
so I'll
okay.
Put it on.
All right. Just mute yourself if you have anything to say. Unmute yourself, and I will get right into reading.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Let me just check this one thing here. And we try to do this radio program every night at 11:30, 11:30 to 12:15-ish. It's live streaming from 11:30 to 12 midnight Utah time, and then overdrive from midnight to 12:15. Famine by Ogden Kraut. Joseph warned the people of a famine that was coming on the land and laid up corn. So Brigham and Heber have taught you that we are going to see a day similar to that, but more terrible and more awful. Heber C. Kimball, Journal of Discourses, Volume 5, page 174. All right, let's see. It's giving me a key to abbreviation. Journal of Discourses, Comprehensive History of the Church, Millennial Star. All right, let's see here. Okay, here we go. Introduction. Feast or famine? Feast or famine has been the lot of every person in greater or lesser degrees, and even though it is hard, it is a hard lesson learned, it is often and hastily forgotten. To be prepared is the motto from Boy Scouts to the defense of nations, but how little attention to this wise creed is adhered to by members of the church and other individuals. Because we have such an abundant basket and store, a meal without butter is of greater consequence to us than all the famines of China and India. Just as sure as the Lord lives, we are going to see times when our neighbors around us will be in want. But some may say, here, we have 10 years, 20 years, 30 years gone, and the sayings of Joseph and the apostles have not all come to pass. Yeah, I would really love to see the members of the church back in the days of Isaiah. Oh, his whole lifetime, a lot of his prophecies didn't come to pass. Did it mean that he wasn't a true prophet? No. It meant that he, his prophecies were like, his prophecies didn't come to pass at that time because, Messiah still hadn't come, Didn't mean he wasn't a true prophet. And if they have not all been fulfilled, they all will be. When we saw the flaming sword unsheathed in the terrible war between the North and the South, we could see in it the fulfillment of part of the prophecies of Joseph Smith. But when peace comes, for a short time, we forget all about it. Like a person who comes into the church because of seeing a miracle, if he has professed an obedience to the gospel and a belief in the principles because he saw a miracle performed, he would need another in a day or two to continue him in his belief, and he wants a repetition of miracles to keep him in the church. Let peace continue for a few years, and the predictions of Joseph spoken of would be forgotten by all of us but a few. Let me just say what they were talking about, miracles. Oh, brother, you know what? I have friends who have seen miracles. And I have friends who have witnessed me healing, them or their daughters, and then they go off into the wilderness and you never hear from them again. I have people who have spoken to me, and as we were speaking, they say they have seen light shining from me, and then that's like, and they feel the spirit and everything, and then you never hear from them again. You know, miracles don't convert anybody. The Holy Spirit converts people who are obedient, but like, it's kind of like the parable of the seed. You know, some seed is thrown on hard ground, some seed is thrown on, you know, ground that will let it grow, kind of, you know, some seed falls off by the wayside. So I don't know, I just, to say about that, I just know that miracles don't convert anybody unless, well, except for, like, well, with myself, the only reason I converted was because I asked God to heal me and to show me the truth, and he did, and the Holy Spirit was overwhelming, you know, and I didn't believe anybody, you know, that was LDS up to that point, but I was completely healed, and that miracle, I was ready for it, and there was a miracle, and that is the foundation of why I am LDS. Of course, that was the foundation, the preparation of the foundation. The rest of it came by study, prayer, and revelation. Anyway, continuing, so it is with us comparatively. Let crickets or grasshoppers or frost or anything else come and destroy our crops, and we feel it then. But just as soon as prosperity comes, we forgot what has happened. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 242. A review of the history and the reason of famine will prove interesting and beneficial to the ecclesiastical student. Even though it deals with a temporal condition, the causes for famine are numerous. Some of the most prominent are drought, flood, inclement weather, insects, disease, and wars, which destroy the crops, transportation, and imports. Cities are the first and most devastated by the effects of food shortages, which is why I have called in the past for people to leave the cities, especially Salt Lake and Provo and that area. Because when the cleansing happens, you are going to be hard-pressed to escape the mess. All right? We have approximately 450 famines occurring in the period between 1000 AD and 1885 AD, Encyclopedia Americana, Volume 11, page 8. The devastating power of famine has surpassed the specter of death caused by war. To review some of the ravages of famine over a 120-year period, some of the famines are recorded below. 1769, Bengal. 10 million suffered death by famine, reducing the total population by one-third. 1770, China, 3 million people died by famine. 1790, India, the worst famine known there, no number known, millions. 1866, Bengal, over 1 million people died. 1870, Persia, 2 million dead. 1876, India, 5 million dead. 1877, China, 10 million dead with another 6 million shortly thereafter. 1891, 30 million dead. In World War II, and during the years from 1914 to 1918, famine spread throughout the European countries and millions died in Russia alone. During World War II, many millions died according to some sources by the conditions brought about by this war. This condition is brought about in wartime because of the lack of labor and the consequent drop in agricultural production, of the destruction of crops and herds by warfare and the disrupted transportation system, and to some extent because of large-scale looting of stocks of food, Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 9, page 64. Perhaps the earliest record of famine in the history is that which is mentioned in the time of Abraham. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. And from that day to the present, there have been reoccurrences of this type of pestilence. The Mormon people suffered two major famines, the worst of which was in 1855. This famine of 1855 to 1856 revealed the precariousness of these Great Basin settlements, which 8 years after the advent of the pioneers into the Salt Lake Valley could still be subject to such reverses as had now come to them in the matter of food supplies. CHC, volume 4, page 111. I think that, I keep on wanting to say it's correlated, but it's not. It's Comprehensive History of the Church, volume 4, page 111, on page 4 of this pamphlet. In addition to the loss of other crops by drought and grasshoppers, great numbers of cattle died on the ranges from the severity of the winter of 1855 and 1856, which also materially lessened the quality of food. And while the quantity of food was lessened from these three causes combined, the immigration of the saints was usually large, and during the same period, great numbers of gold hunters en route to California, says George Albert Smith, church historian, came into the valley destitute of food, who were fed and aided on their way from our scant supplies. Comprehensive History of the Church, volume 4, page 109. In a letter to his sons in England, Heber C. Kimball wrote, "Money will not buy flour or mill, only at a few places, but very little of that. I can assure you that I am harassed constantly. I sell none for money, but let it go where people are truly destitute. Dollars and cents do not count now in these times, for they are the tightest I have ever seen in the territory of Utah." Millennial Star, volume 18, page 395. Because Heber C. Kimball and Brigham Young had saved and stored up grain, they were the temporal saviors of many people. Heber continues, quote, "I have been under the necessity of rationing my family and also yours to 2/3 a pound of breadstuffs per day each. As the last week is up today, we commenced on 1/2 a pound each. This I am under the necessity of doing. Brother Brigham told me today that he had put his family on 1/2 pound each for their scarcely any grain in the country, and there are thousands that have none at all scarcely. We do this for the purpose of feeding our hundreds that have none. Heber C. Kimball, Millennial Star, volume 18, page 395. The historian Brigham H. Roberts, or I think it's Brigham Heber Roberts, B.H. Roberts, gives a correct view of this storage program as being a wise policy, but mentions that it has generally been abandoned by individuals. It was during these years, I say, that the wise policy was inaugurated of storing up grain each year against a day of famine, a policy which, though now sometimes since abandoned by individuals, CHC, I can't remember. I always want to say comprehensive history. Oh, I think that's what it is. Correlated, comprehensive. I get so confused. Comprehensive History of the Church, volume 4, page 112. The idea that this famine is a thing of the past is one of the most dangerous to our present society. Many voices from many sources have proclaimed the dangers that threaten the world today. The world faces more increased perils from famine in our generation than in any era of the past. And let me just say, if we had a country, an enemy of this country, able to get an EMP pulse above our nation, all of the power grid would go down, which would mean all of the oil pumps that pump out oil and natural gas would stop. You would have any vehicles that did survive the EMP surge, so that their vehicles were not completely destroyed by the electromagnetic pulse, would only have gas for long enough. Well, I guess they wouldn't be able to refine gas, but there would be plenty of gas in cars and stuff like that, you know. But the semi-trucks would shut down. Most of these semi-trucks have computers in them that are not hardened against EMP pulses. I think I just said pulses twice. Electromagnetic pulse. You know, and if there was ever a war, any kind of nuclear anything in this country, it would affect the commerce greatly. Like, you wouldn't see the trucks on the road. Like, that, and any smaller disaster, any kind of Hurricane Katrina type thing, you know, like, are you going to rely upon the government, who eventually will get to you in 2 weeks while you die because you starved to death? Or are you going to have food supplies for yourself and enough for the people around you? Because the people around you, even if they're LDS, probably are not gathering food. They're probably living paycheck to paycheck, like we are. We have some wheat. We try to do our best, you know, to have food, but it's hard to find places to put it, you know. I mean, I guess you could always put your kids' mattresses up on the boxes so that they could sleep on it, right? Just put the mattresses over the top and whatnot. But none of these things have ever gone away. Food storage has never gone away. Famines are prophesied to get worse in the end days, not better. And we're lucky we're in a drought right now where I live, and there's water rationing, and now there's a stupid forest fire. They were doing a controlled burn on the top of the mountain and got away from them because of the wind. Now they have all these firefighters using up all of our precious water that we already on rations for to put this stupid fire out, you know. Luckily, that's west of Huntington, not west of where I'm at now, so we're not getting the smoke from it too much. But I'm actually going up to Huntington Power Plant right now with a load of coal, and the fire's just right up the mountain from that, you know. So hopefully they can keep that power plant open, you know, but if it gets too smoky, we're not going to be able to deliver coal there. And then I don't know if the people are going to shut it down or what, because, you know, the people have to breathe and that fire is coming down the mountain. So anyway, continuing on with my reading. Mass starvation will be the most painful fact of life on this planet within 10 years. Senator George McGovern, U.S. Food for Peace Director, before his election to Senate. It is hard for us sitting in rich, comfortable, overfed America to realize that the greatest disaster in the history of the world is just around the corner. And, like, you know, if prophecy is right, you know, then it is. The famines and stuff that are prophesied in the very end are ridiculous. Anyway, we are fast approaching the greatest catastrophe in world history. Great areas of the earth are on the threshold of famine. Dr. Raymond Ewell, State University of New York. Let me just say, so in 1815, there was a massive volcano that blew up, and the whole island blew up down by Malaysia in the South China Sea, or maybe it was in the southern South Orient. But this thing, like, they say that you could hear the explosion 3,000 miles away. And, like, where there was an island, There was nothing left. Well, the ash cloud from that explosion and that massive eruption got up in the atmosphere, and it caused this effect where it was snowing in June and July. The crops failed. They called it 1815 and froze to death, I think. It was either 1815 or 1816. It caused Joseph Smith and his wife, Lucy Mack Smith, the father of Joseph Smith Jr., to have to move from New Hampshire to New York because, you know, they couldn't raise crops. It was ridiculous. There was a famine in the land at that time. Everybody suffered from it because of a volcanic eruption. So it doesn't have to be wars, and it doesn't have to be anything. It can be a volcano going off, like the volcanoes that are going off in Hawaii. I mean, those are tame compared to what happened at this other Mount Pinatubo or Krakatoa or whatever the name of that mountain was. But, you know, those things cause agricultural disruptions, which cause it so that there is famine in the land. The catastrophe is not something that may happen. On the contrary, it is a mathematical certainty that it will happen. Thomas M. Warr, head of Freedom from Hunger Foundation. Today, in some parts of the world, wheat is black marketed for as much as $21 a pound. The great wheat surpluses, which have existed in this country, have been depleted, causing a shortage of wheat instead of a surplus. The government-sponsored program called Food for Peace has drained the surplus wheat bins by over 90% of their storages. America today has a shortage of several commodities, which will invoke rationing, strict governmental controls, and eventually a famine. The prospects for alleviation of food shortages are dim. We may never again see food surpluses in this country or in any other nation. The monthly rate of population increase in India is 1 million a month, and America is facing a similar type of population explosion, which is a force to drain reserve stocks. The mathematical equation for population increase is astounding. The world didn't reach its first billion until comparatively modern times, 1850. But then it only took 80 years to reach the second billion, and then came another billion, this time only 30 years. This brings us to 1960. But look at the figure skyrocket. Half that 30 years for the next billion people, bringing us to 1975. Plain Truth, February of 1966, page 13. Because of these worldwide conditions, which are fast settling upon us, food shortages become an essential factor in the plan for self-preservation. We just hit the 90-second mark till the end of the live streaming program. Anybody who does want to continue to listen or participate by, talking on the program for the last 15 minutes, can call in 917-889-8827. And once again, last time, 917-889-8827. We have 60 seconds left on the live streaming portion of this radio program. Our government, our church, and our common sense tells us we should store and save during the times of plenty for the times of scarcity. This program has been an essential factor in our religion. I look upon the subject of storing grain and other kinds of food as a very religious matter. How could a man who was half starved enjoy his religion? I think that they just mistyped this. It was Beverly that wrote all this down and put it from the printed word into this internet forum. Sometimes she didn't do the greatest job. So I'm just going to read it for what it says. How face of the earth could a man enjoy his religion? when he had been told by the Lord how to prepare for a day of famine. When instead of doing so, he had fooled away that which would have sustained him and his family. I wish our brethren to lay this matter to heart, not to rest until they have obeyed this particular item of counsel. Apostle George A. Smith, Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 142. Reasons for famine. Let me just see if we have anybody in the studio. And Kim, did you have any comments on anything? You can unmute yourself. Doesn't look like we have anybody in the studio tonight.
I was just thinking when you were saying the stuff about having, you know, the fires and it causes the famines because, well, we're going to have a water shortage, which there's a ton of farmers out this way, like where we are. And I don't know what they, if they're using our reserve or not, or you know, Huntington's or whoever, you know, all around here. I know that they do have a lot of stuff that they're shipping in to put out that fire, but I also know that right up the road here from the high school, they were filling up tankers. So
are they tankers? Are they ground tankers, trucks, or?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. But you saw helicopters flying around too, right?
Oh, yeah. We've seen them for the last 3 or 4 days. We've seen them. You know, with their big bags of whatever it is. I don't know if they're doing toting water that way because, in all honesty, they do put a different color. Sometimes it's pink, a powder up onto that. And I believe it's some kind of chemical that takes the oxygen out of the air so it can suffocate the fire, which works better than water does. So it's kind of like the same stuff they use when a jet plane catches on fire, you know, all that foam.
Oh, are you speculating, or do you know that for sure? Cause
no, I'm speculating that that's what it is, because I've never been up there when they're dumping it on. I've just seen the different colors that they put up there, so I know that it's not only water. But what I was going to say, also, it's the same thing the other way. So when Texas was flooded, you know, when they get all their floods and stuff, whatever agriculturally is grown in different areas, like, you know, the pineapples or whatever that we get from Hawaii, you know, just the different fruits that come from every different place. When they have problems, that's what goes down, and that's what we have less of. So with Texas, we knew, great, they had another hurricane or whatever, and then we're like, okay, so fuel will go up for us, you know. So.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that, too.
It's like with everything, yeah. So, yeah. That's all I was thinking when you were saying that. Like, yeah, that happens when there's floods, too, so both ways.
I was talking about the volcanic eruption over in the South China Sea. No, in the South China Sea back in the 1800s, there was an island. The island blew up because it was a volcano. It blew up. The island no longer exists. The ash from that eruption filled the air, and they never had a summer that year. So they couldn't raise crops, so they depleted their crops, and they were like boiling thistle and bark to stay alive, kind of like what happened in North Korea about 7 to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, there was no food,
yeah.
And that was because of a volcano. It wasn't because of the government, or it wasn't because of a plague, and it wasn't because of war. It was because this little-known island, which was a volcano, blew up and no longer exists, and the ash cloud. And we've had, last year, I mean, I got a Facebook reminder today about a photo that I posted last year while I was waiting up at the mine up at Skyline, which is about 8,000 feet. And it was snowing a year ago today up there. And yes, last year winter was ridiculous. But I know that Guatemala and there's been a whole bunch of these big volcanic eruptions, and I'm wondering if it's going to affect us. Of course, there has been a cold spell here in Utah You know, it got down into the 30s the other night, which caused some of our crops and those plants that went yellow. What were they?
Yeah, that's from, it's beans, green, they're bush beans.
But do you think they'll recover?
I don't know if they'll change color. We're hoping
No,
that.
recover, because they turned yellow and they
Right.
were
Well, I
green.
know. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't think that they will recover the color of them, which should be more like, I guess it's chloroplasts, what makes it that color in the plant. But
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it'll turn that green. However, I'm hoping that even though it's not the right color, I'm hoping that they still produce the vegetables. So
Yeah,
the other
and
ones weren't as
hopefully.
affected, but the pepper plants were having issues, you know, with the fluctuation with the cold, so those were turning like a little bit white for a while, and I was trying to protect them.
Yeah, and hopefully we won't have any more like cold snaps that come along and kill our plants, you know. But that's just our personal garden. You know, what happens when there's an event that causes it so that the crops fail, and then we're sitting here holding empty buckets of nothing because there is no crops, you
Yeah.
know.
I
So,
remember when we were in New York, there was blight, and that's something that affects tomato plants. It was on the tomatoes, on the fruit themselves. But I haven't heard about anything like that over this life.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that over here, but excuse me, but then you have regular, things that happen with, like hurricanes. Like we had Hurricane Sandy come through when we were living up in New Hampshire, but Hurricane Katrina, and then you had these hurricanes hit Houston last year, and the flooding and stuff that occurred there, and the lack of food, because everybody, when that happens, they all clean off the shelves, and if you don't get there right when you know it's coming, then you ain't gonna get nothing. And I think it's funny because wasn't there a hurricane that hit my friend Jay in Florida, but they thought that maybe it was gonna hit Wilmington,
Yeah, they kept
North
going back and
Carolina.
forth. Yeah.
Yeah, and your
Well,
sisters
remember at the
like
coast? Yeah.
ran,
Yeah.
they all ran to get food, and like the food store, I mean the shelves were empty, and then it didn't even hit them there, which I thought was funny.
Wasn't there, I thought you were talking about with Jay, but he went from one side of Florida to the other side, back to the other side, because they kept not knowing what side it was hitting.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what I know. No, I think that he just like hunkered down and stayed put there in St. Petersburg.
Oh, I thought they were having a hurricane party or something.
No, there was a hurricane, but Jay was like having a hurricane party,
Yeah.
and because Jay is Jay, my lovely friend from high school, who's not religious at all. But back to what I was talking about with famines and stuff, like we have been asked in the church ever since the beginning of the Restoration to have at least 2 years, if not 7 years, food supply on hand. And most of us don't do it. I mean, we've got like 7 barrels of wheat. You know, so maybe we'll have to have, what are we going to do with it though? I mean, we don't even know how to make bread very well, you know. But I just look around and I see all these people with all their nice toys and all their vehicles and all their boats and all of their fifth wheel trailers and whatnot, like our neighbor. And I wonder, do they even have any food storage at all? Are they obedient to God and to the people that they sustain as prophets? Or are they just concerned with going into debt for their own pleasure? Like the grasshopper and the ant. So, I don't know. Anyway, is there anything else that you wanted to say before the end of the radio program? All right, I'm just going to check real quick.
Except for speak for yourself when I'm making bread. I finally got one that works.
Well, hey, if you learn how to make scones or flatbread,
or had blueberry ones.
The most basic kind of bread that will keep us alive.
Well, we would have to do flatbread just because of the yeast issue.
Okay. I don't know anything about it because I'm an idiot when it comes to those things. I just drive a semi truck. That's all I know. Semi truck driving and religious conversation. So anyway, but you know, I just encourage everybody out there to, you know, get their food storages. Do what they can if they have the opportunity to buy a boat or have the money to buy food storage, buy the food storage. You know, if you want to build your credit by getting a credit card, maybe get the credit card and buy food storage and then pay it off. And you build your credit and you have a resource so that if you lose your job, well, it sucks. They can't come after your, you know, I mean, they can foreclose. Well, I guess they could close your credit card down, but you have the food anyway, right? I don't know. I just wish I had more food storage. It seems like every time I try to build some up, something happens and it goes back down. So,
yeah.
Anyway, what's that?
I said, yeah, then you have to rely on God.
Yeah. And you know what? He's taken care of me all this time. You know, we always have just enough to get by. And like when I was in Florida, I mean, I went down there with nothing but a car, and I had a luggage rack on the top, and I lived in my car and I got work, but he took care of me even when I couldn't get work and had no money. Like he would send people, you know, to me, and I wouldn't ask them for anything, and they'd say, hey, I just, God's told me I need to give you this money so that, you know, you can eat. And I wasn't trying to look like, I mean, I had one particular instance where I was at a workforce services place just looking for a job, and somebody came up to me. Anyway, God does take care of his children. But we only have a couple minutes left on the radio program. When we come back tomorrow, I'll try to get back on at 11 to 11:30-ish. I'll schedule it for 11:30. We'll be reading Reasons for Famine. And we will, and then I'll post that, like I'll post this one on Zion's Redemption Books and Church of the Living Messiah and LDS Last Day Prophecy and Gospel Discussion and LDS Gospel Mystery. And if you want to check out my old shows, there's 461 of them at the Kingdom of God or Nothing in podcasts on iTunes and blogtalkradio.com/ The Kingdom of God or Nothing. So I will give you a call back later, Kim. I'm going to end the radio program now. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Take care. God bless, and shalom.